From the beautiful campus of Texas A&M University, the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology brings you the Sports Medicine Podcast. Our mission is to make sense of and connect the science, practice, and application of the latest findings in sports medicine and human performance to the real world. Here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Well, hello and welcome to the weekly podcast from the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance. We are brought to you from the lovely campus of Texas A&M University. I'm your host, Tim Lightfoot, and I'm so glad that you took the time to download us and that you're with us today. Today we are quite privileged to have a repeat visitor with us. We have Mr. Kevin Hughes with us, and if you've been listening to us for a while, you know that Kevin is a world-class comedian. He has been with us before on the podcast. He is actually was one of our inaugural Huffines discussion speakers a couple years ago. Kevin has, as I said, he is a comedian. He has been named Comic of the Year and Variety Artist of the Year. He writes, boy, does he write, all the time, blogs, stories. Matter of fact, he's got a book coming out just in time for Christmas on the Kindle called Christmas Gifts. I think, what'd you say, you can go to bookbaby.com, right, Kevin? Pick that up?
Right. Yes.
Bachelor's and master's degrees. He works with Princess Cruise Lines and has for many years. He's had won many honors there. And if you want to find out more about Kevin, and I'll say more at the end, you can catch his website at superat60.com, and you spell that out, superat60.com. So welcome back to the podcast, Kevin.
Thanks, Tim. Happiest of holidays.
Happy is a holiday.
Yes.
And to tell the audience, you know, you agreed to come back on the podcast, and we're going to chat about your journeys over the last couple years. And I will tell the audience, Kevin may be one of the, I think, three or four people that I know of that's listened to all of our podcasts, all 99 of them now, and actually writes comments on most of them back on our website. So thank you for doing that, Kevin. And again, we're so glad to have you here. When we talked last time, you were in the process of becoming super at 60. Have you made it?
No, I'm now 61, but I have the body of a 60-year-old.
Well, as long as you're running ahead, you're okay.
And I've learned some lessons, which we're going to share in a minute. But I'd like to, you know, after all your podcasts, you always ask for a takeaway message.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to give a take-home message and then give it to you again at the end as a takeaway message, because I think it's what the older people need to know and the younger people don't realize yet.
Okay.
And that is, well, I call it the Kevin Rule of Twos. It's never too late, it's never too later, and it's never tomorrow. So if you can just remember that, never too late, never too little, and it's never tomorrow.
Okay.
If you're going to start anything, start it today.
Right.
And it can be something as simple as, and this is going to become a big one. You told me once you would tell me about the lactose wars. Then
right.
They had the cholesterol wars
right.
for eggs. And now I think the next one that's going to come up is sugar.
I would agree with you.
I think you're going to find the sugar wars because processed sugar, basically that isn't found in nature.
Right.
So everybody knew that was bad. Stay away from the whites, white pasta, white bread, white sugar. But I think they're going to find out that corn syrup, fructose, is broken down in a way that you scientist guys are finding out is not probably the best for us, that fruit without some kind of padding isn't really the best thing in the world to eat.
Right. Now, this is not a Kevin Hughes original thought. I mean, there have been many books on out there that I think Sugar Blues is one.
I didn't know. See, I haven't seen the podcast on sugar yet.
Well, you're it right now.
But I think that's one of the things that happens from your podcast is you get exposed to things.
Yep.
Then you go look up what they're saying.
Right.
And then after a while, you kind of get the flow that, for example, it looks like exercise is not only the best preventative thing you can do for overall health, but it's becoming so personal that you guys, you scientist guys, are actually finding ways to help Kevin versus just men over 60.
That's correct, yeah.
So it's pretty cool to see that, you might not have to lose your muscle mass, it's not necessary to have the belly anymore.
Right.
Those kinds of things, because listening to almost 100 podcasts now, I've become like ashamed of myself.
You shouldn't be ashamed of yourself. We don't do it to make people ashamed of themselves.
Well, what I discovered is it's growing very evident that almost everything you recommend is simple. It's just not easy.
Right.
So if you ate correctly and you moved 25 to 30 minutes, and by the way, one of the things I've discovered over 60 is you have to move enough to sweat.
Mm.
It's not enough to just move around for 30 minutes and go for a nice walk, because that doesn't do, at least for me, the belly's still there.
Right.
And I walk more than anybody I know as far as my age group, because I'm in Alaska every summer, and that's all uphill.
Right.
And so the tendency is to just not push yourself hard enough to actually get to the point where all of those supercharged things are starting to happen.
Yeah.
So basically, I've been in maintenance mode, not growth mode. I don't want to get big. I don't want to be, you know, I can't say that. I've never had a handsome day. but I was stronger, and I only had the one chin when I was younger.
So, but you know, while you're talking about it, tell people what you do kind of on an average workout day.
Well, it depends. Alaska, my average workout day is a 6 to 9 hour hike.
Okay.
I usually leave around 9 or 10 in the morning, and then I come back about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and I'm toast.
Yeah.
And then on my actual workout days, I do a very, very simple pyramid. I do the one I learned from the strength coach, which was the little tendons that connect your elbows and your wrists and your shoulders, all those little things. If you get too big, too strong, too fast, your muscles are actually stronger than your connected tendons.
That becomes your weak point, doesn't it?
Right. So what I did was I went down to very light weights, but very many repetitions. And that has worked for me. I do 50 with 20 pounds of 8 different dumbbell exercises.
Mm.
Then on my heavy day, which is me, I crawl around on the floor. I think I showed you once at your house where I get down like a spider and I just crawl around and I crawl up things and I find anything I can climb. Because I'm using my natural body in its natural range of motion,
mm-hmm.
like you would if you were climbing a tree or the side of a hill. And then 4 times a week, I do 30 minutes of what I call dancing. I change my pace and jump around and hop and do jumping jacks and run in place and sprint backwards for 5 yards because you hit the kitchen sink. And just that little stuff. So that's my general workout.
Mm.
I can do that in a ship. I can do it in an 8x10 cabin. You know, because I don't use weights except for the dumbbells, and if there's none available, I just use my own body as the weight.
But
so 4 to 6 times a week, I do walking, and 2 to 3 times a week, I do the hard workout.
But, you know, you raised a really important point there, and that is that you're not letting your environment stop you from being active. You're taking advantage of the environment that you have to do unique things like the hiking in Alaska.
Right.
Bears and all, right?
Yeah.
As well as you may be a little bit limited as to what you have access to on the ship, but you make do with what you have.
Right. And there's a lot of little things. Because I'm over 60, one of the major problems we have is balance.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things from listening to one of the podcasts, and I'm so sorry, Tim, I don't remember everybody's name.
That's okay.
But one of the fellows was talking about just simple things like standing on one foot
mm-hmm.
and barefoot. You have to be barefoot, and you're on a hard surface, and then raising your other foot 6 inches, and then closing your eye.
Hmm.
And if you're over 60, trying to do that for 30 seconds without counting like 1, 2, 3, 70 is very, very difficult to do, but you can feel the little muscles. I guess you would call them core muscles if they were in your stomach and spine, but you can feel the little muscles in your calf and your thigh trying to make the adjustment to just hold you,
right,
hold you up. So something as simple as that, you do 3 or 4 or 5 of those, and then you stop before you get frustrated or fall over and become part owner of wherever you're standing. So those kind of little tips that have picked up from your podcast, you know, eating 30 minutes after you exercise,
mm-hmm.
Not letting your environment dictate your – you can do 100 crunches and 100 push-ups in a coffin.
Right.
I wouldn't want to, but you
right.
could.
Right.
You know, and then if you just tighten your body up, that's actual resistance if you tighten your muscles and then just try to contract or expand them. So just those little things, you know, that you move around and just keep doing it for 25, 30 minutes, The fun part is you and I were lucky because we grew up when there were teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Something right. that you take for granted, that you could go in your street and get 8 or 9 kids out and go play.
Right, right.
And your games were always movement games. They were like tag or spotlight or basketball, baseball, football, street ball, stick hockey. You know, we got to play, so we never thought about it as working out. And one of the mental things I've noticed after 60 is almost any form of exercise becomes mentally a workout.
Right,
And the challenge is keeping your, as that one lady said, your grit.
Uh-huh, yep.
Trying to keep your grit up because it's easy to play. It's hard to grit.
Right. You got to stay determined to continue to do that vigorous exercise.
So the two things I would offer is, and it works at both ends of the age scale, is like all of those wonderful white wizards that you have working in your lab, they're all in their 20s or early 30s. When they dance, that's an athletic activity, the way the young kids dance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a great athletic activity for those of us who are over 50, because when you ballroom dance, you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, and it's controlled movement. And the woman you're with has to do it backwards and pretend she's not leading. So you get...
And pretend she's having a good time.
Exactly. And then and she won't even mention her feet because she's just glad that you tried to dance. So that is exercise, even though it doesn't look like it. But it's much more likely that you'll go do that because she will remind you.
Yeah.
Than if you try to hit a gym. One of those comments on one of the... You sent me... the guy said, nobody over 50 is going to go do this.
Mm, yeah.
And I was like, no, nobody over 50 wants to do this.
Right.
But if they would just stop for a second, they would do it. But unfortunately, it takes the heart attack.
Right.
Or the, you know, I can't breathe when I tie my shoe before they start to go, I don't want to be like this anymore.
Well, Kevin, it sounds like it sounds to me like you have made daily activity kind of part of your personal hygiene routine, where, you know, many people wouldn't go a day without brushing their teeth. You certainly won't go a day without exercise.
It has to be a lifestyle. You know, you talk about anecdotes in your show. Mm-hmm. I did a show once with Chuck Norris, the karate guy and television star. And he was doing his workout at 4:30 in the morning. And the other comic, was a karate expert. So he said, well, would you mind, Mr. Norris, if I came and joined your workout? And Chuck, being the guy he is, he said, of course. So I went just as a witness because I don't do karate of any kind. And we had left the club at 2:30 in the morning. And Chuck Norris was up at 4:30 to do his workout. Hmm. And as he was warming up, as I had to go get the other comic and wake him up, I asked Chuck, I said, how do you do this? And he said exactly what you said. He said, did you go to the bathroom this morning? Did you brush your teeth? He said, I have never missed a workout in 38 years.
Wow.
And his warm-up workout, and I'm not a karate guy, but he did 500 kicks with each leg, 500 punches with each arm, and then he did 25 chin-ups and 25 pull-ups, and then he started his workout.
Wow. Yeah, just part of that would be a good workout for so many people, wouldn't it?
Yes, but the point he made was, you know, he traveled all over the world. He was making movies. He was on the airplane. He had to be in hotels. He had time change, jet lag. Instead of excuses, he just had to work out every day.
Yeah.
And he did. And I'm kind of like that. I can't hold still. It's not ADHD. It's leftover boyness.
Believe me, folks, he can't sit still.
Yeah. So I like the fact that I can move. And I want to be able to move. I have a friend who's 72 years old and still carries lumber in his backyard and builds all these fascinating mathematical things out of wood down in Charlotte. Bob Sobrowski, I think I took him to his house once, where he's got the mathematical background, and he builds equations out of wood, which is amazing to see a rhombo dodecahedron come to life.
Yeah.
But he's 72. He carries the wood back here. He carries nails. He hammers. So he doesn't look like he's exercising, but he is exercising.
Well, you know, Kevin, so oftentimes, though, the younger people want to help the older folks in our society out. So they say, well, here, let me carry that for you. Or here, let me do this for you. Or here, let me do that for you. What's your thought about that?
Well, if grandma's got stuff scattered all over, leave it alone. It's her system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you clean anything up, she's never going to find it.
Right.
But I think that's, I don't know what they call it, learned helplessness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go, like those scooters, I absolutely hate those. You know, you see old people, because when they first start them, they're 100 pounds lighter than they are a year later.
Yeah.
Because it becomes easy. And the human being, there's something in our mindset that wants easy. But one of the things I've discovered over the last year and a half, trying to become super at 60, is there may be a lot of simple things you can do, but there's nothing easy.
Right.
You have to. It's like you and faith. You haven't, and since I've known you, which is a long time now, neither one of you have gone plus or minus 5 pounds in either direction. But you told me once when I was eating that burger, you said, well, just have the burger and a small Coke and just don't do it again this month.
Right. It's all moderation, isn't it?
Right. So, but how do you do that if you're being tempted by every media input, every advertising thing, every commercial involves food or drink or both?
Right.
So you get this connection in your brain somehow that you can't be happy unless you're eating, and you're eating the right stuff and drinking the right stuff, but they don't advertise the right stuff.
But isn't that the thought process behind the effort to ban the large soda pops in New York City?
Right. He tried to help by going, okay, since you have no willpower,
right,
I will establish a limit to how badly you can abuse yourself. But they still do it.
Right.
Because I would love to see what the sale of 2-liter bottles in the surrounding counties has gone up to.
Yeah.
To bring back into the boroughs. But when you talk about overall health, especially after 60, you've got to eat, breathe, and move.
All the time.
Yeah. And surprisingly enough, breathing is one of the things that I think is overlooked, that most of us are shallow breathers.
Hmm.
We just don't breathe deep enough for a long enough thing to really oxygenate our brain and our body at the level it needs if you're going to think.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed with what you've done over the last 2 years, because, first of all, compliment on your interviewing skills have gone remarkably up the scale. And the scientific community is learning more and more how to speak to guys like us.
Yeah, and it's been actually been very rewarding that the people that – we have very few people that when we ask them to talk to us on the podcast that they refuse.
Right.
Most of them are willing to do it. They just don't know how – you know, they don't have the avenue to do it. I shouldn't say they don't know how. Once you start talking to them, they do pretty well with that.
And they skip the jargon unless it's actually necessary, because when you had the – the one going on, well, you know, the PR genes and ER genes, and you're sitting there going, oh, yeah, what's a PRCV1FOXO? you know, and then it's almost like listening to somebody who joined the Army for the first time, and you come out of basic training, and your mom's looking for your unit.
Yeah.
And you're like, just take the HQ to the BOQ, turn left at the BX, and you'll be right there in front of Echo 5-4. What?
Now, you better watch out. Now you're starting to slip into your routine on evolution there.
Yeah, evolution, yeah. Oh, dear, well... You know, that's an interesting point. When the evolution of a thought, of fitness, you've had the book that was written by a layman, but after he read the two guys that you interviewed about running, long-distance running,
yeah,
and how technically a 64-year-old should be able to run like a 19-year-old, at least for distance, not time. The 19-year-old could probably still burn him in a mile.
Right.
But he can stay close enough that when that guy has to sprint a mile, he'll show up 5-10 minutes later. Well, when that guy wrote The Ball...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. John Fox, yeah.
That first chapter, finding out that we're one of only 3 known animals that play, and the play for the other animals is just as physical as our play.
Right.
So it's built into our genetics to both be able to exercise for a long time and to play with the extra energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have both. And if you're not playing and you can't work, you're devolving.
Right. You're going the other direction.
Right. So now we know that from listening to your podcast, the different things we can do, that older muscle doesn't have to deteriorate. We just listened to her the other day where she was working with burn victims, old people, and cancer. It turns out we all, even cancer patients, should exercise.
Yeah. Dr. Sheffield Moore.
Yes. And so she was saying, you know, this, your body needs certain things, so... At certain times when you pass that threshold of you have to start using your stored stuff,
yeah,
you've got to have protein.
Yeah.
Eat the piece of chicken.
That's right.
Well, if you can find one that ate grass when it was living.
There you go. So Kevin, what do you foresee for yourself over the next 5 years as far as your health goes? What are your goals, and how are you going to get there, you think? We already talked about the sugar. You're going to drop processed sugar out.
My goal is to go back to the things that kept me healthy when I was young.
Mm.
So first is I went off sugar, and I got real skinny. And mm-hmm. Kathy couldn't stand it because sugar's in everything, Tim.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I mean, it's in bacon. It's in bread. It's in hot dogs. It's in hamburgers.
It's in vinegar. That's the crazy thing. It's in vinegar.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
See, I just learned something new. So when you – going off sugar for me will eventually show up in my body form.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is I have to change my mind from the things that I can't do anymore to the things that I can do that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the explosion sports are gone. I love basketball, as you do too, but I haven't been injured since I stopped playing.
See, it's amazing how you cut down on your injuries when you stop playing those contact sports, huh?
Yeah, but I don't have the injuries, but I can walk uphill in Alaska now.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have that. The third thing I think I'm going to have to do is face the fact that you have to make lifestyle changes. It can't be Band-Aids. If you're doing it for somebody else to look good for your spouse or, you know, so you can show up at the wedding in the tuxedo you wore 10 years ago or whatever it might be, that's not going to last.
Yeah.
You got to find a way so that, you know, I can't imagine a day without moving. So why can't I get to the point where I can't imagine a day where I didn't eat correctly?
Right, right.
Yeah, so, and now that you guys have taught us all about timing, it's not only what you eat, it's when you eat.
That's right. And you know, you got that from Molly Bray when she was here at the Huffines discussion.
Right.
Yeah.
And she, you know, eat that big breakfast, that smaller lunch, and a tiny supper. And if you just did that at the end of the year, you would be 12 actual pounds lighter, not 12 pounds of water weight that you burned off in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and then your pee turned into soup. So those will, I fully expect in 5 years to be within 20 years, pounds of my high school mature body weight. I can't say high school because I didn't mature. I was 4'10" when I graduated high school, and I was 5'6" when I turned 21 in the Army. So I had a late. I'm at the end of that bell curve. So my weight, probably my stable adult weight, was probably around 25.
Yeah, yeah.
And at 25, I weighed 140. So if I can get 160 or below, I would be very happy.
So we're going to have you back on in 5 years at least to find out how you're doing with that.
Yes, and hopefully by then you'll go, is that Kevin? Because I will only have the one chin.
So we're going to come back and tell people how they can keep track of that for you or with you as over the next 5 years in a few minutes. But as we're running short on time here, as we always do, we let people give us a take-home message, and you were so nice to actually give it in advance. So refresh our memory already.
See, this is what we have to do with older people. You have to say it again and again. as one of the great Americans, Mark Twain, used to say, tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them again what you were going to tell them.
Right.
So at the beginning I said, it's Kevin's rules of two. It is never too late, it is never too little, and it is never tomorrow. So start today.
Excellent take-home message. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for your time, Tim, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas, happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah. If you're Buddhist, the Great Awakening started on the 12th of December.
And if you're Mayan,
whatever holiday you wish to celebrate, celebrate it well.
And if you're Mayan, you only have a couple days when this comes out.
Yeah, but that was a circular wheel, so they'll just turn it around.
Oh, and start over.
Yes, but we might have to go backwards.
And for all those of you listening, thank you so much for being with us. And I would encourage you, if you're interested in hearing more from Kevin and actually hearing some of his comedy, he primarily does relationship comedy. And if you have ever been in a relationship with anyone in your life, you will find that he will nail you so many different ways, and it's actually in a very funny way. So I would encourage you to check out his website, superat60.com. And you can check out his books. You've got several books on Amazon right now, right, Kevin?
And on Kindle, yeah.
And on Kindle. Yeah.
There's even one there, How to Be Super at 60, which is the plan I started on from 58 to 60.
There you go. And so you can pull all those things down. And I'd encourage you to sign up for his blogs because Kevin writes in a wonderful manner and often shares pictures and things like that from his travels, which are also wonderful as well. So, again, thank you all for downloading and listening. Kevin, once again, I can't tell you how much I treasure you as a friend, and thank you so much for being with us on our 99th podcast with us today.
Thank you. Yeah, the feeling is mutual. Kathy just looked in the room and said, send him a hug.
Okay. I feel it warm already.
Okie dokie.
And I hope that all of you join us in a couple of days when we're going to release our 100th podcast. That was a live event we did just a few weeks ago. We recorded it. It's going to be up on the website in a couple of days. We had three guests, I would really encourage you to pull that up and listen to it. We've got the video as well, so you can see the fun that we had doing it. That was a great production with a lot of people that were involved, so I would encourage you to pull that up. In the meantime, we hope that you stay active and stay healthy.
Thanks for listening to the Huffines Institute Weekly Sports Medicine Podcast. This podcast was produced by Cheryl Marek and Kelly Selman and made possible by generous support from the Omar Smith family and the Sydney and J.L. Huffines family. This podcast is published under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. That means you can't sell it or change it, but feel free to give it to everyone you know and to talk and blog about us. And in case you were wondering, our openings and closing are provided by JohnMilesProductions.com, and our music was provided by Dave Zeltner. Find him on the web at DavidZeltner.com. And just so you know, we love hearing from you. If you have questions or comments, please send them to HuffinesPodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.